investments. Some people like Edward Jones, other people like other investment houses. But where are your investments? More importantly, where is your treasure stored up? Well, you know, somebody, the bank. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Where is your treasure stored up? If your treasure is stored up in this world, if you've invested your hopes, your dreams, your life, your time, your efforts, your trust, your love in the things of this life and the things of this world, then you may have a problem when the hurricane comes or when the moth and the rust consume, because the things of this life are transitory. They are passing. They do not last forever. Human beings live 70, 80, 90, 100 years, maybe a little more, and then we die. And if we die, then our stuff, where does it go? We may leave it to someone we care about. The government will take a bunch in inheritance tax, but I mean, you know, come on. What happens to it? I mean, we can't take it with us. There's the old joke about the old lady who said she wanted to take all her money with her. When she died, she wanted all her money put into her casket. So when she died, her daughter comes forward at the family time, and she looks down at her mother, and she says, "I love you, Mother, and here's your money." And then she takes out a check and places it in her hand. Where is your treasure stored up? Where have you placed your time, your talents, your gifts, your service? Where have you spent your time? What do you prize highly? Where are your priorities situated? Are they in the things of this life? After all, we need food, we need clothing, we need to make car payments, insurance payments, house payments. We have to pay for our educations, we have to pay for our kids' educations and our kids' cars and everything else that goes along with that. I mean, we have lots of bills in this life, so we know we have to spend money here, but where is our true treasure stored up? Where do we spend our time? How do we spend our talents? How do we contribute our gifts? Where do we serve? If we shower our stuff, our treasure on ourselves, it goes down with us. When the hurricane comes, it blows it away. When the moth comes, when the rust comes, it is destroyed. But if we have stored up our true treasure, our love, our hope, our thoughts, our dreams, our concerns, our time, our service, and yes, our gifts, if we have stored them up with God, then we have nothing to fear. Indeed, we have reasons to rejoice. We have reasons to be thankful. We have reasons to be happy. For no matter what happens to us, no matter what the circumstance may be, no matter what may be going on, we can know that it is safe with God. We are in good hands, not with Allstate, but with God. That's what the gospel passage is about today, and that's what we're looking at as we move through this stewardship campaign. We're looking at storing up for ourselves and for our families and friends and our community treasure, not in this life, but with God in heaven. Storing up our treasure where moth and rust cannot destroy it, where a hurricane can't blow it away, but instead where it is secure with God. That's what we're talking about in our stewardship campaign over the next 3 weeks. And we're going to look at it with the question, how do we give thanks, where do we give thanks, and when do we give thanks? Today we're going to look at how, with a passage from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, which you heard read earlier today. In it, Paul writes, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." Now, I was doing research on this passage. I was reading some of the major commentaries about it. Many of the scholars identify this as Paul's advice to the church. Advice? These are not suggestions, my friend. Every one of these verbs, rejoice, pray, give thanks, indeed all of them, rejoice, pray, give thanks, don't despise, test everything, hold fast, abstain from every form of evil. All of the verbs here are in the imperative mood. That means they are not suggestions. They're not good ideas. There might not, you should do this, or you might want to think about doing this someday. No, these are commands. Thou shalt rejoice always. Thou shalt pray without ceasing. Thou shalt give thanks in all circumstances. That gives it a little more oomph, doesn't it? These are in the imperative mood, the imperial mode, in other words, the command mode of the verb. You will do this. This is the directive. This is the commandment. This is what you are to do. Not a good idea, not a suggestion, not advice, but directions. Rejoice always. To be in a state of happiness and well-being is what it means to rejoice here. And it's always, not sometimes, not tomorrow or today, but not the day after. It's always rejoice. Always rejoice. Well, Greg, there may be no reason to rejoice. I might be depressed. I might be out of money. I mean, after all, there's a whole lot of days in the month, and the paycheck just doesn't get all the way there. Or I just had this great big fight with my brother. How can I possibly rejoice? Or I had this argument with my son. Or I had this argument with my mother. How can I possibly rejoice? Greg, this is too tall an order. And it is an order, by the way. It's in the imperative. How are we to rejoice always? I mean, he says, sometimes you should rejoice. Now, that would be easy. No. Rejoice always. Oh. My goodness, I'm not going to be rejoicing because I'm worried about not being able to rejoice. Rejoice always? Yes. Even when things are going bad? Yes. Rejoice always. I have a friend who pastors a church in Tallahassee, Florida. He said that they were struggling to get everything ready, and I asked him, what are you going to do on Sunday? After all, the hurricane won't quite be there yet, so what are you going to be doing on Sunday morning? He says, doing church. And then when church is over, we're going to stay open. We got food. We got MREs collected. You know what MRE means, by the way? It's a military term. It means meals rejected by everyone. They are rations, C rations. And we got a bunch of those, meals rejected by everyone. We've got tons and tons of water. We've got generators and fuel for it. We're ready to go. We thought we were going to be sending all this stuff down into the panhandle all the way down to Miami and Fort Lauderdale, but it looks like we're going to need it here, he said. And so they're getting ready. And they're going to have church. They're having church. They've had church. And then they're going to stay open as a shelter for people who need a place to go if the power goes out, if the water shuts down or becomes contaminated. They're going to rejoice. They're going to celebrate. They're going to have worship, and they're going to celebrate and praise, and they're going to have an evening service too. And they're going to rejoice as the wind is blowing. Not because the wind is blowing, but because they're there together. Rejoice always. Yes, even when the hurricane is blowing, even when the moths show up, even when you find the rust, rejoice always, even when you've had a fight in your family, even when the money runs low. Rejoice always, even when your candidate doesn't win a political election. Rejoice, sorry Wyman, rejoice always. Oh, how? If your treasure is seated in God, if your treasure is laid up with God, if your treasure has been invested in God, if your treasure, your time, your talents, your gifts, and your service is stored up with God, then you can rejoice. For none of this stuff in the end really matters. Had a great big argument with my brother. Boy, I've had a whole big lot of arguments with my brother. A lot of big arguments with my brother. Had one back in 1988. I'd forgotten about it. I really forgot about it. completely. I don't even remember it. My brother apologized to me for it the other day. I hadn't been thinking about it. It had been bothering him. What seems important today, what seemed important last week or last month or last year, in the end, if our treasure is stored up with God, if our time, our talents, our gifts, our service, if our presence, if our priorities are oriented with God, if we have invested ourselves in the life of God, in the faith of God, in the hope in God, if we have stored up for ourselves in God our trust and our hope and our faith, then what seems important in this world pales by comparison. That's why Paul says we can rejoice always. It's not done. Pray without ceasing. Well, now, you know, it can be hard to pray for 5 minutes. Have you ever tried to pray for 5 minutes nonstop? You either run out of air, or you learn that praying is not just yakking, not just talking. Frequently, prayer is being silent before God, being present with God, being open to God's presence with you. Pray without ceasing. Sometimes I don't want to pray. Sometimes I want to be mad. I don't want to pray. Sometimes I want to be angry. I don't want to pray. Sometimes if I realize if I'm praying, I can't hate my brother. What? Yep, no, I can't do it. Huh. Pray without ceasing. My dad used to say that when he would be angry at a supervisor, he would pray for them. He would often pray for them that they would get promoted out of his hair. He didn't have much of it. But he would pray for them, and it would always make things better. Principally because it would change him in how he acted and reacted towards others. Pray without ceasing. If our treasure is invested, stored up with, seated in God, if that which is truly our treasure is with God, then we can pray without ceasing. Reside in the presence of God without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Oh, gosh, Greg. I don't want to give thanks about this circumstance. I don't like what's been happening. My friend in Tallahassee, he said, I'm not going to give thanks for the hurricane, but I'm going to give thanks to God that we're in God's presence even in the midst of the hurricane. Give thanks in all circumstances. Another rendering might be in everything. Give thanks in the midst of everything. Give thanks while everything else is going on around you. Give thanks. Not because of those things, but because we have stored up our treasure in heaven. Because our hopes, our dreams, our love, our service, our witness, our time, our priorities are oriented with God, toward God, and what God has for us. Give thanks in all circumstances. And again, these are imperatives. They are commands. They are directives. They're not suggestions. They're not good ideas. They're things that we are expected to do. And if our treasure is with God, then we can and should want to and will want to do them, regardless of what's going on. Regardless of what hurricane may be blowing through your life, regardless of what the moths may be doing or the rust may be doing, regardless of the mess, regardless of the difficulties, regardless of the pains, regardless of the health concerns, regardless of the financial concerns, regardless of the political concerns, regardless of what's going on in your life, if your treasure is stored up with God, then rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, and giving thanks in all circumstances becomes our way and God's way for us of responding to what's going on. In the early church, during the first few centuries of the church, Christians were being persecuted by the Roman Empire. During the first century, during the latter part of the first century, some of these persecutions were pretty horrific, including the death of Christians. Some Christians were used as lighting torches to light the circus races, the horse races in Rome. They would take them and they would cover them in oil and they would put them up on staffs and then they would light them ablaze to light the races. Christians were being marched off to persecution, and a Roman writer writing in Greek wrote down what he heard them singing. And he wrote it with something called enchiriadic notation, which means that above the Greek words, he wrote little notations for how you are to sing it. It's early musical notation. It didn't give the actual note, it gave the tone and how you're supposed to change your tone as you sing it. And so with that, plus with the notation we have in many ancient monastic hymnals and lectionaries, we know how this was sung. And it's actually a quote from right here in 1 Thessalonians. In the 90s AD, as Christians were being marched off to death, in the midst of knowing they were going to die, men and women and children sang these very words. Rejoice always, rejoice always, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, give thanks in all circumstances. In Greek, according to that notation, it is sung this way. Pantote chaireta, pantote chaireta, pantote chaireta, pantote chaireta. Adia leptos prasucheste, adia leptos prasucheste. In panti eucharistete, in panti eucharistete. That's rejoice always. It's pray without ceasing, and it's in all things give thanks. They were going to die. They knew they were going to die. And they sang, rejoice always, rejoice always, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, pray without ceasing, pray without ceasing in all things. Give thanks in all things. Give thanks. As we go through the hurricane of this life, as we face the trials and tribulations that we are challenged with every day, as we go through this life, as we fight the moths and the rust, may we also rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in everything. And we can do this when we store up for ourselves treasure in heaven, when we place our trust, our hope, our faith, our love, our time, our priorities, our service, our witness, our gifts, when we place it all with God, then whatever we're facing, we can face. We can face with rejoicing, with prayer, and with thanksgiving. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people say,
we dwell in your presence. I'm
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2017 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.